Welcome back to the Kansas City Baseball Vault All-Star Watch Party Show. What you're going to hear is the third part of this show. And it's going to start out where we're talking with Aaron Gnerk, who, if you remember way back to the Royal Man Report days, he was the original producer. He rented out the studio to us. He ran everything. He put us on an hour clock. He did so much for us. And it was really cool of him to show up at the watch party and just hang out. And so he didn't really talk too much about baseball. He talked more about podcasting and things like that. So it's going to start out not quite on the Royals tip. But I think it's really cool to include him in this because we wouldn't be here without him. Following that, we talk with Craig Brown. We also talk with Max Reaper and cover a lot about you, the fans, and your response to the Royals' play this year, to even back in 2012 when Billy Butler was in the All-Star Game that Kansas City hosted, and generally celebrating how awesome Royals fans are. So enjoy this third segment, and thank you again for listening.
So, you know, it's been, gosh, how long has the Big Dumb Fun Show been going on?
Over 10 years. This is actually our 11th year right now.
Wow.
In August, we will start 2004, technically in the filings and such. It was August of 2004.
Good for you, man.
Well, for me, I came on as a guest a couple times in the spring, and they asked me
left.
I was involved in all
you're
comedy
like,
radio.
I'm here.
No, they
you show up the next
like
week. You're like, what time are we on?
We've had those guys on before.
Like
Steve Williams, still one of those guys.
And yeah. So, who would be like your top? Who would be your Mount Rushmore of guests that you've had on the show?
At the time,
yeah.
At that time, Pablo Francisco.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I started out in doing comedy with him. Doug Stanhope.
That's right. Yeah.
As comics go.
You've had a lot of comics. And
yeah, a lot of comics.
On, yeah.
I mean, we've interviewed Louis Anderson.
Oh yeah.
Which is great. You know, he sounds. You know, you're talking with
Louis
him.
Anderson. Yeah.
You see actually, what I'm doing? I'm watching lettuce.
Louis's got his own podcast now.
Does he really?
Yeah.
And surprised.
So
man.
Does Gilbert
awesome.
Godfrey.
Well, I mean, you were doing podcasts. You know,
2004.
Seven
we released everything
podcasts,
out. Yeah,
or...
Mark Maron started in like 2009.
Yeah.
And he
That's
just had great. Barack Obama on his
he
show.
He did. I saw that. That's
Barack
a,
Obama
big,
comes into his garage.
Pretty big get right
I'm
there.
I'm like, that's
not bad. That's not too bad.
Yeah, I think that's that helps awesome. Kind of validate the media, if you will,
in
art form. I'm actually doing a program outside. I do some other productions. You know, we have the studio there. And I'm working with a guy. He's the documentary filmmaker who did the documentary Gangland Wire.
Okay.
Which is basically a documentary about the River Key in the 70s where they blew
oh,
up a building
yeah.
or two and the FBI and they started wiretapping the mob and they found out they were skimming from the casinos in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Like they fell into the middle of that
yep.
conversation.
Like Kansas City in the 70s was all up in all that.
That was one of those things. I mean, it's still kind of he felt a little uncomfortable about doing the documentary because some of those people
yep.
still alive. But nonetheless, there we are
That's
doing
awesome.
That. Now we do a podcast of true crime stories.
That's cool.
So he goes back. The first episodes we did was like six or so that were recorded over a couple of days or sessions. And we talked about how the Spiro tried to blow up Tuffy DeLuna.
Nice.
Like they put some dynamite in a bag underneath his car, and they had a remote detonator like a garage door opener.
Mm-hmm.
And they stood back, and Tuffy came out of the trap and got in his car, and they're sitting there hitting the button, and it doesn't blow
Couldn't
up.
Couldn't do it.
So they're, you know,
was,
how
I think
do
that
you
was a scene that was later depicted in the movie Casino.
I think so.
That had a lot of Kansas City
yeah,
ties in it.
In
yeah.
Casino, there was that scene where there was all those old guys in
yep.
the back room, and that was
back
Kansas
room
City.
Back room of a deli in Kansas City, yeah.
So we just recorded something on Sunday night, and another great documentary filmmaker, Terrence O'Malley, who did a documentary called Black Hand Straw Man, which is a great documentary about the Kansas City mob from the turn of the century to almost like 1980.
That's awesome.
So we were talking about the Union Station Massacre.
Well, that was pretty cool.
Like that was awesome. 2.5 hours of recording, basically, going through that whole storyline. And it's interesting, you know, these guys are, you know, one's a retired 30-year police intelligence officer. The other guy, both attorneys, both established, known, credible documentary filmmakers. That was one of those kind of where you're like, I mean, I've met a few famous people.
Yeah.
But
oh, yeah.
this was like getting to produce
that show's the best,
getting
though.
To produce this was like, man, yeah. this
Remind the folks where they can find the Big Dumb Fun Show, Aaron.
Just over at BigDumbFunShow.com.
You guys are still live streaming.
We're still on the live stream. We got about 780,000 view minutes.
That's fantastic.
Still on the YouTube. You can download the podcast. They're not that current, but they're still available. We're still taking unsigned music from all over the world, really.
You.
We play stuff every week, try to get new stuff going. Info@BigDumbFunShow.com.
Good for you.
If you're a music
artist.
If you're a filmmaker, if you're a comic, if you are an artist at large. Like, we've been doing some remote broadcasts. We're down in the Crossroads for a First Friday broadcasting remote. We did Periscopes on that, too. And we'd shoot video of it and put that up. You can find that. We did a series over at Harling's upstairs.
Oh, I love Harling's. My wife, that's her jam is Harling's.
Yeah,
remember
that's a great dive bar.
Oh, this song? Well,
I think this was one of our bump songs. When
was
we were
this
down
a bumper?
The ice house.
You know, in my laptop, I still have some of the commercials that you produced for the Royal Man Report.
I'm so sorry.
You forgot the quotes.
They were promos for, you know, the iPhone one was a great one. I remember you came in with like a,
it
was
like
a minute 20, maybe. Minute 15.
Yeah.
A normal commercial time.
That was when Siri first came out. That's how long we've been doing this show.
That was a big deal. Thanks for stopping
2009?
By. We'll let you go get a drink and some pizza, man.
Yeah, Aaron, thanks for stopping by, man. I really appreciate it.
I saw you guys tweeted it out. I had to stop by. I mean, come on. It's the All-Star
fantastic.
Game, and there's so
and
many
congratulations
Royals
congratulations to you guys for so many
years.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's a great job.
I don't know if you heard, we did win an award, and this fall we were the best indie radio according to
fantastic.
Midwest Music Awards.
That's
fantastic.
That's totally awesome.
That's
well, keep on keeping on,
that,
man. That's fantastic.
Thank you guys. You too.
Great
job. Good to see you.
Thanks, man. Good to see you. Aaron Gnerk from the
Big Dumb Fun Show.
That's awesome, man. It takes it all back to where we were.
Man, all of you just got full circle completely tonight.
Completely
here we are.
Full circle. Oh, yeah. Have a good one, man. You bet. Take care.
Thanks for coming in, man. Appreciate it.
That's a good guy right there.
Absolutely. Fantastic people. Engel just went and tried to wrangle up Craig Brown so we can get him on.
That's a big get.
I don't know if I'm fully prepared for that yet.
Okay, I was just mentioning I should have been an MC.
You should have.
We were reminiscing a little bit with Aaron Gnerk.
Yeah,
that was Aaron
Gnerk. That was awesome.
That was really cool. He's a good guy.
Really, that was so great for him to come out.
This
was really awesome.
None of this really would have happened if it weren't for Gnerk. The thing,
he taught us so much about like how to run a show.
Right.
And
which we promptly forgot and ignored.
Yes. I mean, it's so like he had us on the clock. We had bumper music.
We had the clock. We had all that.
I mean, it was
remember the clock.
The clock.
Man.
Yeah.
It's like. We got to go to break.
And
then
Troy would
talk for another 7
minutes.
He
would bump you out. He did not give a shit.
He would just
Bobby
throw
Kendrick's in the middle of the story, and he's, no, we're playing Bob Kendrick off.
Sorry, folks. We got to go to break.
Yes, there it is. Oh, Lorenzo
Cain. I think
Cain.
This is the music,
Lorenzo
too,
Cain.
That they
step,
play us on. Lorenzo Cain with a hit.
Step one towards his MVP. He's got to score a run here.
There he is. Got to score a run.
Against Bumgarner. 1 year too late.
Oh, man.
Wah, wah. Wow.
Yikes. Let's cover our over-unders.
Let's here we go. Kamler, you can participate even though you didn't give an over-under. But
I was going to go get a piece of pizza. But
we'll
go
say
ahead.
Well, you'll
okay.
pizza. You can add to this. We'll say what the over-under is first, and you can say over-under,
okay,
and then we'll discuss.
Sounds
so
good.
Start it off.
So back in March, we did the over-under.
Am I still on the hook for 13-8? Is the final score,
though? No, not at all, not at all. It was 13-7 is what you said.
Right.
Thank you.
That is what you're on the hook for.
So over-unders. This is about 2 weeks before the season started. Some of these were in pretty good shape. Some of them were not. But anyway.
It happens.
I don't have down whose was whose. Really, the important thing is who's over and who's under.
Yes.
Who participated in the over-under?
Well,
Mike and I.
This would be Jeff and I on an episode. It was a selfie. It was like
thanks.
A bottom.
I might have missed that one.
Thanks for listening.
I'm sorry, guys.
Thanks for listening.
I'm not caught up. I'm a couple of episodes behind.
Just click it and get the download, and that's we're going to count it.
Yes.
SoundCloud don't know.
SoundCloud.
True.
SoundCloud
just
don't
let
play.
It run in the background while
so
you're slaving away at work.
Don't even do that. Just click it.
Chewing up bandwidth.
Our first over-under was Eric Hosmer. 290 batting average.
Over under that? Okay.
Over
Hosmer.
Under.
Yeah.
What first before we say how we did. Oh, fake Ned's being pulled away here.
Lesky is getting distracted here.
Hang on. Sorry, boys.
All right.
Mike, but before we get back into this, just so you know, at some point Kamler and I are gonna have to do a game of pop it shot. on
okay.
here. So there's that.
We can
but
periscope
okay.
that.
Well, yeah, we can periscope. That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm going to download that right now. Where's my phone? I'm going to download the Periscope app, and we're going to do this. Okay. So, Brandon, you can jump in here. Okay. Over under Hosmer 290 batting average. What would you have gone with here? Then we'll discuss what we did.
This is in March.
What do you mean? What, like before the
like
season?
By the end of the year.
Oh.
Oh. Do you think Eric Hosmer will be over under 290 batting average?
Under.
Under. Mike.
Jeff.
What?
Jeff, you said under.
I said under.
I was over back at the start.
And what's
Salvador Perez
at the plate.
Perez what? Came on first. Bumgarner pitching.
Man, this is way too familiar.
Yeah, this is not. I don't feel comfortable with this at bat.
Third baseman better get ready for a foul pop.
Too soon.
Too soon on that one?
Too soon. We're going to have to pause a little bit on this at bat because it is.
It is important.
And they show his World Series ERA.
Of course, 0.25.
I've just announced to a bar, if Salvi Homer's here, I'm taking my pants off and I'm running down Main Street.
Okay.
I'm all of a sudden against the home run.
What's even better is he's got to run like six blocks to get to Main Street, so that's just a really
right.
long walk.
You can hear a pin drop right now.
Bochy here is doing some managing. Oh, that looked familiar.
Both his bats he's had so far, he's done good at laying off that little pitch.
Right.
But you know.
That was a nasty pitch, though. That was just dirty.
Oh, he's way ahead of it.
Madison Bumgarner is still, what, like 23? It's just disgusting how young this guy is.
He's 24, 25, yeah.
Right. Patience. I'll take a walk.
Oh, man, this place is going to go nuts.
Is there somebody? Altuve,
then Escobar, yep. With two outs and Bumgarner pitching.
Drop a bunt.
Stop. Drop a bunt with a 3-1 count.
That was ball four.
Foot outside.
Disagree, umpire. I disagree.
Goodness gracious.
High and outside.
Ooh.
I disagree.
I can't hear the television, but I'm sure
Joe
Buck is sitting there going,
Joe Buck.
That was pretty.
Joe Buck just wet his pants while watching that pitch.
Yeah, but see, he swung at that because he knew it was going to get called strike.
Yep.
3-2, two outs.
This is getting intense here. 3-2, two outs. Kane on first. If Perez hits a home run, I'm going to cry. First tears of joy.
I love Kane.
And then second tears of despair for not
doing that in October.
Yeah. Again, full circle as we were here for Game 7.
It's true. Like,
just a lot of full circularity here.
Ooh!
Oh, damn. He would have beat that, too. He would have beat that out.
Yeah, Kane would have easily made it to second. I don't know about Salvi the first thing.
I think Salvi would have made it because that would have had to.
Come on!
Boo!
They just showed the replay.
Showing the final out of the World Series.
The bar is a little unhappy.
Yeah.
I hate Madison Bumgarner.
Goodness gracious. Pays 350 and Perez
gets the MVP. This is it right here. This is.
And another foul ball.
Staying alive, though. Keep that pitch
back.
Count up. 14 pitches for Bumgarner now. Oh.
Oh, yes! strike three, but.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Kane got to third.
There's a strategy. Swing at such a horrible pitch that it's a pass ball.
Okay, do you bunt Altuve with his
feet? Do you bunt? Not with two outs. You don't bunt with. Even Ned knows not to bunt with two outs.
Man, that's very uncharacteristic.
Posey misplayed the crap out of that ball.
Posey gets that every other game.
It did look like it kind of took a weird hop. Like it kind of scuttled on him.
Yeah.
And last year there was all the Jose Altuve trade rumors with the Royals. Not rumors, but people wanted that to be the trade. So this could have been every day for us with Sal and Kane on with Yeski Grand Slam.
On the first pitch fastball too.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, get up there. Nope. Salvi's too slow.
Well.
All right, boys, on that note, I am headed out.
All right, man.
See you guys tonight.
PSA Press on Twitter. Brandon, thanks for showing up, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for the shirts, dude. They look fantastic. Awesome. Over-unders, back at it.
As we go to the
break. Now that that excitement was taken care of. So
currently, Eric Hosmer is at 291.
291.
So the over-under was 290.
So first of all, how about the skill for us, though, by setting that over-under right there, you know?
It's true.
So looking pretty solid right now.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. You said under, I said over. You know, that could still go just about any way.
Looking at like a 55-45 split here.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And Hosmer was struggling for a bit. He came out so just on fire start of the year. And then towards, you know, the last month and a half, he's really been a little bit off.
Yeah.
Just hasn't been adjusting very well. But he last few games has hit better. So that's encouraging.
Maybe the break will do him good.
Yeah. And I hope that's the case. So we'll see. I think that one's got – that's basically a toss-up. The next one we have here is Alex Gordon, over-under 19 home runs. Now, this one going to be limited.
Yeah, this is unfortunate.
The injury is going to take him out. When he got hurt, he had 11 home runs. I had under – I was mostly concerned about his wrist, the wrist injury that he suffered in spring training.
Yeah, I think we both were.
Year. You had him as over, but because he has done it before, he's hit over 19.
Yeah. Twice, right? He's hit over 19. Or did he hit 19?
19 or more twice, yeah.
Yeah.
The other one, an over-under assists. When we were talking about assists, this is Alex Gordon, 10 assists or more. The idea was that it's tough to predict it. So much is situational.
Yeah.
So much is just tough to figure it out. But also that when you're talking about Gordon, a lot of guys now won't run on him.
No, and they won't. The coaches know enough to signal not to run.
And so the opportunities for an assist don't come up. I still, for some reason, despite that, had him as over. I think counting on the randomness of everything, you had him as under.
Yes.
And he's at 3 when he got hurt. So he'd have been on pace for maybe 6. You know.
Roughly.
So I think you're right on in that regard. And then he got hurt. So
he's definitely not going over now.
Right. Certainly not now. He's also over under 15 home runs for Kendrys Morales, which the question then, this was in March, we weren't sure how the difference was. Like his last year, in 2014, he missed spring training. He came in, signed after the draft, really struggled with Minnesota and then Seattle. But with a full season, a full offseason to prepare, he knew where he was going to be.
Yep.
He signed in the winter. That changes things. And so 15 home runs was the over-under. We both went over. He's currently at 11. You specified you thought about 18 to 21, which sounds about right.
Pretty realistic right now.
That's about the pace he would be at right now, too. And just look at him. He's second in the AL in RBIs. So, I mean, already...
Yeah,
Billy Butler had 66 RBIs, and Morales is already at 61. So
I mean
that's a heck of a signing right there.
You can't fault Dayton Moore for that one bit. I mean, that was a fantastic signing, really.
Yeah, you and he's kind of ripped for it. You look at the Rios signing, and that wasn't great. You look at the Volquez, and that was okay. Madsen was a great signing, but Morales is one of those that he's really been a guy in the middle of the lineup. The Royals never had that last year.
No.
Switch hitter, can DH all the time. He's a better base runner than Butler. He's faster than Butler.
Yep.
So already, that's a pretty good trade-off, even though I think we all did want to see Billy Butler here.
Right.
It was clearly
me especially, so I could wear my jersey. But
right.
The her jersey curse continues.
Right. Long enough timeline, that's just going to happen. David Price in the game just struck out Bryce Harper.
I noticed.
Yep.
I had to walk that one off.
Got to walk it off.
I had to walk that one off. But
our next over-under candidate. Oh, go ahead.
You know when you see a hanging curveball just coming in, it looks like it starts to grow and look like a beach ball?
Yeah, you're in the zone.
The guys in the Fox truck, how early on in the Perez-Bumgardner series did they be like, oh, you know what, this looks like a good pitch coming
this
in.
This is
a good pitch. Cue it up. Come on, Barry. Cue it up, buddy. And then they just...
They're
That ain't cool,
this is,
man.
This is why you get in.
They're
cool.
Just like, we're off for the rest of the night.
We're done, guys. They just drop the mic and they just walk out the truck.
Boom. Sorry, Joe Buck.
It's all you, Joe.
Have fun up there.
God. Over under. Sorry.
Call Oral Hershiser if you need some help.
Didn't mean to interrupt your over under segment.
No, we're all right. All right.
Danny
so
Duffy.
let's just back up to the most intriguing one. I want to get your the yep. closest one we've had so far. I want to get your thoughts. Eric Hosmer, we set the over under at 290 for a batting average. What was your prediction?
A million years I would have bet the under.
The under,
a million
okay.
years.
I was the under,
was it,
Mike was the over.
Now or something?
291.
Yeah.
So first
yeah.
of all,
I would have bet the under. I would have said 278. Honestly.
First of all, kudos to Mike and I for handicapping that 290.
You
so
nailed
far.
It.
So far.
So far,
Vegas,
yeah.
baby.
But, yeah. So anyway, all right, next up, Danny yeah. Duffy.
Well, I skipped Alex Rios, but that was a 285 batting average, and we're just not going to
yeah,
talk about
just,
it.
Yeah, that's just, no.
I'm going to predict he gets that. Hurt and misses most of the first half.
That happens.
We were also both over on that, so, yeah.
Swing and a miss, strike two.
Danny Duffy, the over-under was 170 innings pitched.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at that.
Right.
I shouldn't laugh.
This is your idea, too.
This was my idea. This is part of that bad handicapping part.
We were both under, though.
We were both under.
Duffy obviously had a shoulder problem or tendonitis.
Not bullish on Danny Duffy.
Had a lot of trouble in a few starts in a row and ended up doing a rehab assignment. He's at 62 innings, which, you know, he can still get to like 130, 100. You know, that's not bad. It's just he's not going to get to that 170, which
no.
would have been about 5 or 6 innings a start over 30 starts. He's not going to have the starts. He's not going to have the innings per. So it's just not going to work out for him.
No.
Over-under, 170 strikeouts from Yordano Ventura.
Oh.
Again, we didn't anticipate the suspensions.
The suspensions,
the cramps,
and the injuries.
The elbow ulnar irritation
yes.
that he had. So he's under that.
Oh, we got. See, look at that. Ned always comes through. Fake Ned always comes through.
That's what
say.
She said.
Hey-o. Now that was about the re-entry. He didn't
right.
hear that. He didn't hear that. We got. It looks like he's still nudging along, but we're getting Craig Brown over here to get on. That.
Well, Craig Brown has written for Baseball Prospectus. He's done. Roy's Authority did an annual 2 different years.
Yeah.
Back in 2009, 2010, they did an annual book.
Yeah.
Where it profiled every player on the roster, which I found interesting because at that point I wasn't blogging yet.
Right.
I wasn't doing any of that. And so I thought it was, like, really cool that someone put the time in to do that. So I actually have them on my bookshelf, which is...
There you go.
They might be the only two that are actually on anybody's bookshelf.
They might be the only two in circulation, but they're out there.
Including Craig Brown's.
Yeah.
So...
He even destroyed his own copies. I don't know why I do this. I don't know why I do this. We're sitting here. There's a TV right above my head, like to the back of me.
It's the best TV in the bar.
There's a TV straight ahead of me, and I lean forward and crane my neck around to look at the one right ahead. What the hell's wrong with me?
You've got a hanging lamp. Craig Brown actually did put a rider on his contract before he would offer to appear on the podcast.
Did he? A rider? Okay.
He is a cursing rider, so just moms and dads. I know you guys are driving around going on hour number 3 of this podcast, so you might want to drop little Timmy and little Susie off at the
Put them to bed.
Put them to bed.
We've got a few.
It's about to work. Little
we've
blue.
We've all had a few drinks, but you know what? If you listen to this show, I don't know about Mike so much, but I drop the curse words.
Work a little blue at times.
So yeah, you know it
Someone
happens.
Has to.
Hey, Engel, you are a molder of young minds. In your coaching career.
Yeah.
I showed third place
in state, baby.
I showed my son for the first time the other day. Oh, we won't go the entire hour and a half of it, but a good 20 to 30 minutes of Eddie Murphy's Delirious.
Oh, yeah.
I thought for a second you were going to say Tom Emanski's.
How old, 12?
But 12. He turns 13 next month.
Oh yeah,
you went with Delirious instead of Raw.
Late.
We went with stories about Uncle Gus and Aunt Bunny. Goonie Goo Goo. This is my house, Gus, and his drunk father. And then Uncle Bunny would fall down the stairs every cookout.
You remember when Eddie Murphy was edgy and like funny and awesome?
Oh,
and
that
shit?
Was Delirious was
fire. Beverly Hills Cop was
Delirious, and then Raw.
Beverly
and
48 Hours. 48
Hours. Trading
had,
Places
Coming
was
to America.
In there.
He basically
Coming to America was one of the greatest
comedies.
84
to 88, maybe.
Coming to America was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, freaking... And now, what do we get? Norbit.
Then he started a string of, you know,
Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, Fat Suit.
What was the one where he's up against hamsters and stuff. Dr. Doolittle.
Dr. Doolittle, thank you.
And then he's picking up transvestite prostitutes, and
it's not, nice work if you can get it.
Engel, you look surprised. This happened like 15 years ago.
Oh.
He got nailed for, said he was giving her a ride home.
Yeah, it was.
She needed a ride home.
You know,
yeah,
what are you
going
to do?
She needed a ride home. I mean, people's got.
I'm a nice guy.
Craig, get on here.
Okay.
All right, we're going to interrupt the Eddie Murphy to.
The Eddie Murphy reminiscing hour.
There's a face hit by.
Here we go. Trout.
Oh. AL takes the lead.
Trout with the feet first slide. Here we go, Craig Brown.
You got Craig Brown.
Bringing you guys some good luck. Bringing the ale.
There it is. Royals royalty, if you will, from the blogosphere.
He's RoyalsAuthority.com, formerly of Royals Review, formerly then also of RoyalsAuthority.com.
And we go going into the Wayback Machine, back into the 2012 All-Star Game, the blogger panel we had at the Negro League Museum. Craig was there with us. Craig, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you for inviting me out tonight.
Hey, man, we'd love to have you on, dude. Always.
Well, you know, I don't get out of the house too often, and, you know, it's always good to get out for the All-Star Game and check out the Royals and all the Royals fans out of Kelly.
All the people who voted for people. There we go.
Was that Lorenzo Cain?
Lorenzo Cain.
Cain with an RBI. There's the MVP. There it is. Going to be tough to beat Mike Trout, though, with that home run.
It is. And Trout scored the second run there. Lorenzo Cain.
Two runs scored and a home run.
Look at that. The lead. Very nice.
So are you surprised at all by the voting turnout of all the Royals that made it into the All-Star Game?
No, because the city was ready for it, man. I mean, everybody was ready to explode. You know, it's a baseball city. It's a baseball town. So
my dad always said, my dad's here tonight, and that's what he always told me.
Yeah, I mean.
I never knew growing up. I grew up, like, I was literally born when they won the World Series, so it was all downhill after that, quite literally.
Yeah.
And when I grew up, it was all Chiefs.
Right.
So, like, you know.
It's amazing to me that they have a fan base that they have that stuck through
the lean years
because there was no reason to be a fan.
There really was.
Yeah.
I mean, because the Chiefs ruled the town. And
yep.
And so, I mean, it's a testament to the younger fans. I hate to say that because, Jesus, I mean, I'm not that old.
Right.
But it's a testament to the fans that stuck with the team for all those years where there was no hope, there was nothing going on. And I wrote a post about it. I'm a horrible shill. Sorry.
Oh, absolutely. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, right. Okay. RoyalsAuthority.com/
Craig Brown.
We're talking to Craig Brown here on the Kansas City Baseball Vault live from
brought
Kelly's
to you
Westport
by Kelly's Westport.
Well done. Thank you. But anyway, I wrote about how the All-Star Game brings everything full circle for us.
Yeah.
About how the Renaissance really started in 2012 with the All-Star Game here in Kansas City.
Right.
And how ownership realized this is a baseball town and that people would get behind quality baseball, and I think that they made some decisions based off of what they saw this weekend in July in 2012. And, you know, I'm not going to say that the Shields trade was, you know, the result of that, but
right.
It all seemed to kind of fall into place starting around that time. And this is the payoff, having seven All-Stars in the game and, you know, having Lorenzo Cain, you know, driving Mike Trout right there. And
team record payroll. You
know, yeah. I mean,
all these different things. They're going to have record attendance.
And it's only going to go up, right?
Right.
I mean, the attendance is going up. The payroll is going up. Everything is.
The ratings.
I was thinking about the ratings in all of baseball.
Yeah. The second biggest jump in ratings. The only reason they're not the first is because Houston had nobody, and now people watch them.
negative people were watching it.
350% jump for Houston in their ratings from this time last year to now. They're still in the bottom five of overall ratings because they have the terrible contract.
Yep. And I was thinking about this last year. You know, like when I was like 10 years old, you know, when I feel is when you really come into like your truly understand and appreciate sports when you can first kind of start doing that. That's when the Chiefs really kind of took off with Schottenheimer and everything. And
that
I was like,
when the Royals were trading David Cohen.
Exactly, right? And then, but then, like,
again,
last year I was thinking, man, the kids that are 10 years old, like last year, to see that magical run through the playoffs, that's it. It's over for the rest of their life. Even if the Royals go into another period of suck, like, they're still going to be Royals first. Like, that's just, that's how much that kind of stuff. Because, like, 95 for the Chiefs when they had that really good team in the Lynn Elliott game, that was my first, like, that was what sucked me in.
Right.
So it's the same deal for last year. And that's, like, that's awesome to think of. You know, you've impacted so many lives from the Royals last year.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I came of age in the late 70s. I mean,
perfect time.
The 76 team is my first knowledge of Royals baseball.
That's not a bad way to jump
not
in.
Not a bad way to start. Although Chris Chambliss has always annoyed me for various reasons. But, you know, following the team in the late 70s and the early 80s and then finishing in the 85, you know, World Series with the championship, I mean, that's when my baseball consciousness was at its peak as a teenager. And so, you know, I was talking to somebody here earlier tonight. I kind of checked out a little bit in my early 20s because of, you know, trading David Cohn for nothing.
Yeah, you know? And I'd be completely honest. I did the same thing. I checked out. There was like a 5 to 7 year period where I would kind of keep tabs on him, but I wouldn't follow him nearly as close as I do now.
Right. And then to see, you know, I don't. The wait was painful, but in some ways, it makes everything that's happening right now that much better. You know,
right?
It still gives me chills to think about last year. I mean, I lived it, and it was just like, I was so. Every time I think about the wild card game, I'm in my living room.
Right.
It's freaking midnight. I'm worried about waking my wife up, and I don't even give a shit. I'm jumping up and down. My dogs are going nuts. Like, it was so amazing.
Best game ever.
Oh my God!
Fantastic.
I don't know that. I mean, in the history of baseball, we're biased. Okay?
Of course,
yeah. Obviously, but name me another game that was as crazy as that game.
With the setting, the context and circumstance, even the Leicester versus the Royals thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Everything.
The playoff drought.
Yep. I mean, I'm a curmudgeon, right? I mean, you know, old school baseball.
Get off my lawn, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But and so by nature, I don't like the wild card. I think you should win your division.
Right, I agree with you. Absolutely.
To advance to the postseason,
I'm with you.
Now, having said that, I think the one game playoff for the wild card is brilliant.
Super exciting.
Yeah. I thought that before the Royals got in and everything. So, because I think it should be difficult for that wild card team to advance. So,
sure,
if you want to give two wild cards, make them earn it. Make the one wild card team earn it. And so, I remember in September, you know, the Royals are pretty clearly going to the playoffs. Even though they hadn't clinched yet, they were pretty clearly in the driver's seat. And just thinking, oh, my God, if we get that one game at Kauffman, that is going to be the most bananas, freaking nuts game that I can remember since the 85 series. And then for it to turn out the way that it turned out, I mean, beyond my wildest dreams. I mean, top moment as a fan. Better than 85. I mean,
Mike,
to say it, but
Mike and I are both KU fans, and
you
know, the 2008 the 2008 championship, I mean, that was incredibly amazing the way that happened, one of the greatest championship games in history. And I still think last year, that wild card game might have been better. The only thing that gives me pause is the fact that it was a championship for KU.
Right.
Not just like the Final Four game or the Elite Eight or something. But, it's the fact that it even rivals it as just a wild card game is impressive enough in its own right.
Yeah. No, to be able to have, you know, it's so rare that for us that our sports teams have
do
accomplished
well,
anything.
Yes. Or do well, I mean, in that time of their season.
As Chiefs fans, I mean, I'm not necessarily a Chiefs fan, but I know the heartbreak.
Right.
You know?
Oh, it's there.
I mean, and
we've talked
and
about
KU, you know, I'm an alum, and having been to Final Fours and championship games and coming up short, I mean, that 08 win was massive, but that wild card win and going all the way to this game seven, it, that was something else.
Yeah, I mean, yeah that was God.
And it was sustained. It was a month-long run as
I'm
well.
Still coming down.
Yeah, you're still, you get, yeah. not only recovering. Get that, you get, you know, the series against the Angels with Moustakas and extra inning home run. You get Hosmer with that just beastly bat flip in extras. And then they just come out and they just charge the crap out of C.J. Wilson at home. So you get the entire game, that game three of the DS, where you're just counting outs. You're ready to oh, okay, let's go get it. And then you know, you get Baltimore, you get the drama of that first game, you get you know the big hits. It's just
and every step along the way, everyone was doubting them. It was always you know the Angels are the best team in the American League. No way the Royals can play with them. Okay, well, Baltimore, the Royals bullpen isn't as good
it's,
as everyone
it's
says.
The
Baltimore's
chess master
is just
and the dunce.
Baltimore's is actually better, and they got Buck Showalter, and didn't matter. None of it
didn't
just
matter.
Smoked them all.
I mean, the games at Kauffman were. Some of the best moments of my baseball fandom, and it'll never be topped. I mean,
I knew I had to go to. I was like, if the Royals make the playoffs, I have to go to one playoff game at least.
Absolutely.
Just because otherwise, they
I
might
ended
not
up. Yeah, exactly. They might not be back, but I ended up going to two. But I was. I remember in the seventh inning of that wild card game, being like, "Oh my god, I didn't even. I won't even get to go to a playoff game now." And they ended up. Yep. Thank God, I ended up going to two.
You know it by now. It's the best of the American League against the best of the National League at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri. So one on with nobody out for Robinson Cano, who's booed here because he did not pick Billy Butler, the hometown Royals, for the home run hitting contest. The captains get to choose their squad. Fans here wanted Butler selected. And last night, the fans got all over Cano as he went homerless in the home run derby.
What a deafening response to Billy Butler being announced today for about a minute and a half.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
His night is over. Two walks mixed in there, two strikeouts. Crowd chanting Billy Butler. Strike two. But all Billy can do is just sit and watch in his first All-Star game, the DH for the Royals. Even in this big park, he has proven he can hit the home run ball. Joe Nathan is still up for the American League in their bullpen, so it looks like he will come in for Verlander. Here's a 3-2. A pop-up. Left side. Sandoval. One out. And so the Royals fans here at Kauffman Stadium get a kick out of Cano making an out. First we talked to Robinson about it. He said it's just part of the game. He smiled that Robinson Cano smile.
Sorry about that. We had some the Papa Shot people were playing Papa Shot so hard. They were popping so hard on the
it was
shots.
The wind.
It was the wind, actually. That's right. As we speak, we got fake Ned running around with the sign saying hashtag Kane MVP, trying to intimidate people into voting because
it's just
we're Royals.
What
that's how it happens.
Do.
Royals
I mean,
fans.
The thing is, like, we've known for a long time, and before I get on this tangent, let me bring in our next guest here at the watch party. We're talking now with Max Reaper, who runs Royals Review. .com, part of SB Nation.
Yes.
One of the
glad to have you. Thanks for joining us.
Longest running blogs out there, one of the better known ones.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
We've already had Pine Tar Press, and we've had Royals Authority on. I don't really know.
Save the best for last, right?
That's right. That's right. So right now we're going around trying to get people to vote for Kane for the MVP of the All-Star Game. He has a single and a double, drove in a run. What's your impression on the overall turnout, the Moose final vote, the overall All-Star vote, you know, the internet presence of Royals fans?
I mean, isn't it great? I mean, just it's like 29 years of Royals fandom saved up for like this last couple months, and it's just a great testament. You know, people say like, oh, it's just Royals bandwagon fans or it's spam bots. No, this is actually real Royals fans. Voting for Royals players, and this is just a good testament of like
how much we love these Royals players. I mean, not only are they a good, successful team that wins a lot of games, but they're really likable guys.
Extraordinarily likable.
And you know what, if I may nitpick a little bit, the term bandwagon fan, like, I kind of hate that. Who the hell cares?
Right,
you know? Like,
exactly.
If you're a Royals fan, come aboard. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I would challenge
you. You don't have to prove to me that you're a fan because you know freaking...
Someone just hit a homer. Andrew McCutchen.
He's a star, man.
He is.
No, I agree. Like,
you don't have to prove just because, I know Jose Rosado's stats from 2003. You know, I don't care.
I would challenge any fan base that would go through what we went through the last 20 years.
To exist.
Would the team even be in the city anymore if they had to go through what we had to go through?
I mean,
Cardinals fans call themselves the best fans of baseball. Hey, have a losing season or two. Then call yourselves the best fans of baseball.
I was just going to bring that up. Because I had a lot of I went to a college with a lot of people from St. Louis, and I had a lot of friends from St. Louis, and that's the kind of – they would kind of make jokes and everything. I'm like, man, you've been bad for 25 years. Cardinals wouldn't be drawing 2 million fans a year, 3 million fans, whatever they get. And when you looked at the Rays from, 2008 forward – you know, they were one of the best teams in the East, and they still were. The Royals were getting just as many fans. Yeah. It's like, how the hell are you going to have 13,000 fans at a playoff game for the Rays?
And that's what I was a little bit worried about going in this year. Like, okay, well, the Royals have had their success. Will it turn out in the gate? And that has been answered with a resounding
yes.
I mean, the attendance is way up. They're going to have the highest ratings if they keep on pace, the highest ratings for a local regional sports network in the last 8 years since
nuts.
Boston in 2007.
And
that's incredible. I mean, the Royals fans...
And one of the top five shittiest TV contracts in all baseball,
yeah,
by the way.
That's a different topic. But
I mean, at any given night, half the eyeballs in Kansas City are tuned in to the Royals, which is amazing, which just kind of proves to me what I always kind of suspected but never knew. This is a baseball town. This is a town that will come out in droves to see a winning team. And it's just great to see that come out in fruition.
I mean, think about 3 years ago, right now. What would we be talking about? You know, obviously not us because we're all big Royals fans. But Kansas City as a whole, training camp coming up for the Chiefs. They just had OTAs. How are the draft picks going to do? That's all you'd be hearing about. That's all we heard about for 10 years.
Who are the Royals going to trade?
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know,
who trade away?
You know, what prospects
what
might come up
for
next
so
year?
And, so.
And, no one's talking about the Chiefs now. You don't hear anything about the Chiefs on the radio. Somebody will talk, you know, maybe a short little blurb, but it's all Royals. It's fantastic.
And I'm a big Chiefs fan, too.
I love the Chiefs.
Yeah, I don't want to sell them short, but
absolutely not.
This team, this city is a sports city.
Yeah, and come November, it'll be the Chiefs' time, but right now it's Royals.
And if they win, if they make the AFC Championship or the Super Bowl, which would be great,
absolutely.
This city will back them 100,000%.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, for right now, the Royals are the team that is winning. They're the team that's actually bringing home pennants and, you know, championships. And
actually won a playoff game.
They're the team that's actually bringing it home right now. And I'm just so thrilled to see the city back this team and get behind a baseball team.
It's fantastic.
It's always seemed like that kind of place. I mean, you said bandwagon fans. It's like there's a point in my life where I was not a Royals fan. Or I was a pre-Royals fan. I mean, you got to start it somewhere.
We've talked about this on the show. More so than bandwagon, it's just kind of laying dormant because
it's reawakened.
It's entertainment, and all these different entertainment aspects are fighting for your dollar. And if you're a Royals fan in 2005, they didn't deserve your dollars.
Right.
If you're losing 106 games a year, they don't deserve your money.
Who's
going to
come out and see Mark Grzelanik and Emil Brown?
Terrence
Mark
Long
Redmond.
Doesn't inspire any jersey sales.
You know, the fact that we got 20,000 fans to come out to see those teams is a testament, I think, to our fan base.
Yep.
Because I can't imagine a lot of fan bases coming out to see that kind of drag.
No. So, yeah, that's absolutely been more than impressive to see the fan base just come alive. It's been so awesome. I went to the Monday Night Chiefs game where they just destroyed the Patriots last year. One of the huge wins. So the Chiefs were had one of the best records in the league at that time. As we're leaving the stadium, a Let's Go Royals chant breaks out.
Yeah, and it's
phenomenal. It's just I've never seen anything like it.
What's really great, I think, what really stuck out to me from last year's postseason run is the way the city really came together.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And just everyone
came out.
You saw so
much Royals gear.
Right. You could be in an airport in Atlanta and see someone with a Royals hat, And instead of like, oh, sheepish embarrassment, be like, right. Hey, go Royals, man.
Absolutely.
We had the White House press secretary who was a Royals fan.
A Royals fan, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's Royals fans all over the country.
When I went to Chicago for that series, that Friday game was like split. It was like legitimately split.
Oh, absolutely.
Almost 50-50. At the end of the game, Greg Holland's closing it out, and people are standing behind home plate in Wrigley Field cheering the Royals. Later on, I don't live in Kansas City, so I just kind of wander and I kind of know some areas, I kind of don't. So there were different points in Chicago where I'm walking around, I see a bunch of like big bars and places I'm not familiar with, and a bunch of people in Royals gear. I'm like, I could easily be in Kansas City right now,
right?
Because there was so much Royals gear all around, and that's just for Wrigley. I mean, you see it on the broadcast; they'll show different team, you know, wherever the Royals are. Fans are
every road game
to
I've seen for Fox Sports Kansas City.
There's
it
a
seems like there's
people.
Been a lot of Royals fans on the road, which is pretty amazing.
And I went to in February. I went to San Francisco on my honeymoon, and so I'm going out to San Francisco. So of course, I had to wear my Royals hat. I wore my Royals World Series hat. I was like, I got to represent as much as possible. So
as painful as it may be,
yes. But even out there, just to you know, talk about not having to be embarrassed anymore, you know. It's easy to be gracious as a Giants fan because they won, of course. But at the same time, you know, multiple people when I was just walking through the city or whatever were like, you know, hey, Royals gave us a real go. But, and, you know, it's kind of legit, too, from their standpoint because, you know, you look at, like, 2012, they just swept the Tigers. You know, that didn't even.
But it was really cool, too. Like, on the ESPN polls were like, who do you want to win the World Series?
Yep.
You know, it was overwhelming.
All Royals. The Royals. Yeah, they were America's team.
They were the story.
I had people coming out of the woodwork from around the country that are like my Facebook friends. Hey, I'm not a big baseball fan. I'm really rooting for the Royals because they haven't won in so long. But, you know, that's really cool. Like, we were kind of America's team there for a fall.
Yeah.
And, it was really great to see that. And also great to see the city just kind of come together and come, you know, support the team during that.
One of the funnest times I had.
Oh, definitely.
Because I had... You know, still a lot of my friends from college that are St. Louis fans, even they, to their credit, obviously, since they were friends, you know, you have an understanding, but they were all saying, you know, oh, we were rooting for the Royals. I thought it was a great story, you know. It's like, give it another couple of years that they'll be good and they won't be rooting for the Royals anymore.
Right.
But that first year, it was so magical that even people in St. Louis were kind of pulling.
Well,
so
we've gone from kind of like the pitied loser to kind of like, oh, the fun underdog to a little bit hated this
year. Hold up.
Yeah. It's like, all right, that was fun, but you can go away now.
Which is kind of good because that means we're actually a serious threat.
Yeah.
That's kind of been the
thing. People
are
worried.
The Oakland stuff, the White Sox stuff, all this, you know, okay, they're the bad boys. Even the voting, I think it's so much of it is that, hey, you're the Royals, you shouldn't be.
What are you guys
talking
doing?
Big? Yeah. You're not a big deal. What are you? Get back in your place. Yada yada yada. No, they're not going to do that.
They're not going to go away.
And the thing is, it's a team thing. Like, I'm not a big team chemistry guy as like a founding thing, but you can certainly tell if you work with great coworkers and people you like, you're gonna do better generally.
No, I'm with you. Like, chemistry gets a little overrated sometimes by sports writers.
Yeah, it's not everything. You can't just have good chemistry. You have to do everything else. But
hey, I'd rather have good chemistry than bad chemistry. And this team seems to get along great. And if that's what helps them and makes Lorenzo Cain a 29-year-old breakout star, hey, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know,
whatever
that's what it takes to get
good chemistry can only help.
Right.
Never
it can only help. And if that's what it takes for Alex Gordon to become go from a little bit of a disappointing player to a gold glover, an all-star, hey, I'll take it. You know, so chemistry, is it overrated? Probably. Will I take it? Yeah. And is it one of the best things Ned Yost does for this team? It probably is. You know, it's we complain about the tactics and the bullpen management, but Ned Yost seems to have the control of this clubhouse and seems to be the guy that gets the respect of this clubhouse. And if that's what it takes to be a good manager, I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I heard Buster Olney on the radio on 810, I think it was, and he was saying that one of the things that he's noticed about Ned Yost that he thinks really kind of helped that locker room is that he said he'll always let you know where you stand.
Right.
And he's like, I think players respond to that. They appreciate it. You know, sometimes you might not like it if your manager comes up and says, hey, you're not cutting it or whatever. But, you know, he's consistent. And He's very loyal. And so, I mean, you know, for all his faults with, like you said, bullpen management, some tactical decisions, you know, there has been a big impact that he's made with his ability to keep that locker room together, keep everybody in, you know, in step. And, you know, hey, if that's what it takes, you know, I've kind of come around a little bit on Ned Yost. I've definitely changed my tune quite
a
bit.
You know, for a team with, like, a lot of younger guys like this, you know, a lot of the guys have said that he's played like a father figure to them.
Yep.
Which, you know, that probably has somewhat of an impact, especially with, like, a guy like Moustakas, who some teams would have given up on by now.
Yeah,
you know,
for
let's
sure.
be honest. He's had 4 years. He wasn't really cutting it. A lot of teams would have given up on him. Ned Yost hit him second, which, I'll be honest, I was extremely critical of.
I
thought it was a ridiculous
I was not
idea.
On board with that.
Right. But I'll give it to Ned Yost. He knew what he was doing. That's what it took to kind of give Mike Moustakas the confidence he needed to say, hey, maybe I should hit the ball the other way, not try to pull it all the time.
Yeah.
And that's made all the difference in the world. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I think, you know, I'm a big stat guy. I won't lie about
right.
that.
I am too.
And there's going to be a lot of things the stats don't capture. And that's one of those things.
Yep.
Like guys changing their attitude like that, and if that comes because of coaching, then that's something that's kind of underrated that we're not really capturing with the stats. And I don't know if we ever will, but
right.
You know, it's something Ned Yost probably deserves a lot of credit for.
Absolutely. So I think we're going to wrap things up here. Thank you for joining us. Give a
Thank
plug
you.
To your
Thanks
website while you're here.
Yeah, you can read all the latest news for the Royals at royalsreview.com. We're also on Twitter at royalsreview, so, and on Facebook as well. So anytime you want to read about the Royals, we have a little bit of everything. Stats, funny pictures, you know, anything you want to read about the Royals.
Cat videos? Do you have cat videos?
We are going to work on cat videos. Just
we're working on cat videos.
Let's make that a concerted
we'll make that a
effort
priority
for 2015.
For Chris Kamler. Yes. But,
I actually go to Rose Review quite a bit, so you guys run a great site. Definitely go and check that out. Thank you for joining us. Kamler, any parting words from the wisdom from the fake Ned?
No, it seems to
leave
to
us
the
with?
MVP voting right now, bottom of the sixth, is between Mike Trout and Lorenzo Cain. Mike Trout, obviously, with two hits tonight. Cain with one.
Who came up in the postseason? That's
what I'm
I
saying.
Know.
You know, who made it to the postseason? And Mike Trout now is retrieving. I mean, he's doing everything to try to get that MVP. He's retrieving stray baseballs from the stands. It's rough. It's a rough life for Mike
it's
Trout.
It's a rough life for Mike Trout.
The good thing is the fan vote accounts for part of the All-Star MVP vote.
Honestly, you know what? If I never voted for anything ever again in my life, that'd be too soon.
But I do know
that so
the fans vote for war was a
20%
hashtag Kane
Kane
MVP.
Vote. Yeah,
yes.
If you're listening to this several weeks later, go out and vote.
Go out and throw some hashtag
Kane MVP.
Hey, tag any of us and we'll know you listen.
Tag us all, baby.
So,
for
Michael Engel,
6 hours of podcasting tonight.
Yes.
Nice job. God bless you.
For Michael Engel, who stepped away, I am Jeff Herr, and this has been the Kansas City Baseball Vault All-Star Edition. Thanks to all of our guests who joined us. Thanks to Chris Kamler for bringing all of the equipment and letting us record here. And, of course, thanks to Kelly's Westport for letting us have the space and supporting us so much. So thanks, everybody. And to everybody who's listening, hope you enjoyed the All-Star game. Stay with us all season. We'll be podcasting like crazy the rest of the way. So thanks for stopping by. And as always, go Royals.
I should be like a bingo caller, is what I should do. I think I've really made a horrible career mistake. Mike Trout, where'd this kid come from?
Mike Trout was actually signed out of the Dominican at age 14 by the Angels. He was a really big find from Buzzy Bavassi, the former Angels general manager. He was signed in 1991. He was one of the top Dominican prospects at that time. Yeah.
Obviously, him of the he's got plus hands and a plus neck.
Well, you know, when he was signed, actually, the neck was actually triple plus. But
there's an anecdote from Blog to the K way back when. That's a nice play by DJ LeMahieu. Started a story with two outs. That's something you don't do.
We're going to give some more stuff away?
Let's give some more stuff away, and I'll tell my story after.
All right, we'll put a pause on that. Here we go.
All right, hold on, Physioc. We'll get back to you.
At one of the media things, Greinke said that he felt like his 2009 was better than his.
Yeah, we were talking about the, you had stepped away for a second. And we were talking about that.
Went to go wet my whistle.
Thank you,
bartender.
Talking about Granky is the media darling, or
he's Mr. Personality. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
There's something to that I kind of like, that he just doesn't care about that game.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, one, it's he doesn't care, but two, it is a part of his social anxiety. It's like, why he's not gonna? It's something he's not comfortable with.
This is happening. You and I. I'm challenging you to a game of Papa Shot at some point.
We're gonna do it live.
The whole damn thing.
Paul Goldschmidt's at bat. I still call it, by the way, I still call it Luthor, like Ned Beatty in the original Superman.
Yep.
Hey, coming up next, Mr. Luthor. Coming up, Mr. Luthor.
But we'll
let's give away
we'll cross
some stuff
that bridge
in the meantime.
Let's give away. Plus Hands over there was really excited
plus
about
Hands
the
wants
new
to win
stuff.
Something.
I should have been an MC. I'm not going to lie to you.
Hook up with her.
Wow.
There was a go to hell. Was this Bumgarner? Oh, that's not good. Bumgarner.
Oh.
Yes.
We need to do that.
We do need to do that. We're gonna have to pause for a second and vote Kane here. That Kamler's voting. He works the amp. So we'll hold on here a second.
Let's find out how to vote first.
I think Kane, a hashtag Kane MVP, I think is what it is.
Hashtag Kane MVP?
I think that's what it is. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a lot of Kane MVP hashtags.
Like I say, okay. Taylor!
I love that in an attempt to type Kane, hashtag Kane MVP, it auto-completes to a low Kane hype train.
Test, test.
Which is one of my favorite.
Test, test, test.
We can hear you here.
Hello?
Hey, get on the amp, tell everyone, hashtag Kane MVP, we're voting for the All-Star game.
This is what we do. We vote for our Royals. You want Lorenzo Kane as MVP, hop on to Twitter.
You got it. You're
and do hashtag Kane MVP. Spam the crap out of it. Let's get Lorenzo Kane an MVP. Like I say.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's like you've done it before. It's like you've done it before.
It's like it's almost not my first time.
Bo Jackson says hello.
You have been listening to a Royals Podcast Network presentation.